Hi, welcome to Radio KAL. Welcome to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. My name is Steve Eunice. This, our November 14th, 2017 show, we're going to be covering a range of topics, including the Justice League movie world premiere. We'll also be talking about Supergirl, the latest Superman comic books, and we'll also be opening the line to take your questions and comments on any particular Superman topic, Justice League topic, Supergirl topic you would like to discuss. And to let you know how all that works and how you can get involved in tonight's show, let me introduce you to my co-host, Michael Bailey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve. Now, obviously, the live listeners who have stuck around through our 3 minutes of having problems have gone to www.supermanhomepage.com/live because they're listening to the show. There, they're going to find a phone number, which is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. There, they will be warmly greeted by me about halfway through the episode. Usually, we take calls at the 30-minute mark. Now, since this is 2017, we're beaming this live across the internet and therefore around the planet Houston, you can call in via Skype. And to do that, you can use the little Skype icon at the supermanhomepage.com/live page to call and be on the show.
Yes, and as always, there is a flash chat room attached to the bottom of the live listening page you're on right now. So we invite our patient live listeners to join in there and chat with other listeners. As the show goes on, Michael and I will keep an eye on that chat room to react to your comments and questions, but we'd like to hear from you in person. So as Michael has just explained, get on the phone or call through Skype and let's have a chat. Yeah, and a huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Tina Murray, Patrick O'Neill, and Stephen Wright. We appreciate your support. And as Michael said, apologies for the slight delay in getting the show started. Skype has just created a whole new look. And I usually dial into the Blog Talk Radio page using Skype and call in using Skype. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how you use the new Skype to get the little, keypad up so I could put in my host number and all that kind of stuff. It was just so weird. It's just such a redesign that's just totally baffled me.
Yeah, well, technology is our kryptonite on this show. So it just seems like every time... Every time they do something new, we're kind of like, it's, you know, hey, Steve, can you look at the site? Because I can't see it from my computer because it's not powerful enough. So,
it's a deep cut. Well, we power on and we continue with tonight's show. And it's all happening. It's the, for me, the day before the release of Justice League here in Australia. It's released here on Thursday for you guys. It's Friday, but it's this week. It's days away. It's already happened there. The world premiere has taken place already in Hollywood on Monday night. It looked, you know, they had a live broadcast so you could tune in through Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, the website. It was just all over the place. It doesn't matter where you were. There was always some way that you could check out the live feed of the video. It was really well done. They had, you know, different cameras all over the place. There was four different screens that you could choose from or just have them all up on the page there looking at it. And it was really well done. I was really impressed with the coverage of this live event that they did for the world premiere there in Hollywood.
Yeah, I kind of saw bits and pieces of it. Unfortunately, I couldn't really devote a whole lot of time to watching it. I did, you know, see the Henry Cavill interview that you posted to the website, but it looked like fun. One day I will get to go to one of these premieres because everyone else has. And when's it going to be my time?
Yes, I know. I know what you mean. We didn't get to go to this year's premiere. You know, I've been to the Man of Steel one and went to Batman v Superman. But Justice League is obviously a bigger movie with more heroes, more websites that want to get involved. And, you know, it's one of those things. You just have to bide your time. And I guess they come around depending on where you are, you know, the locations that you can attend. Yeah, it's all good. We've been covering everything from our desks and managing to keep ahead of everything that's going on for this Justice League movie. Heaps of interviews, heaps of press junkets and little tidbits and things that are going on. All these different things that you can touch base with the Justice League movie just seems to be all over the place. And back last week, or might have been slightly the week before, the Justice League crew and cast were in London for the press conference junket thing that we went on there. There was the Justice League experience, the rooms that were decked out for each of the characters that you could go through. Adam DeChannel, one of our reporters and writers who is based in London, got to go there and did a walkthrough and took heaps of photos and reported on everything that was there for us. But they've also uploaded the 20-minute Q&A panel press conference to YouTube. If you haven't checked that out, that's quite interesting to hear the cast talking about their experiences filming this movie.
So I didn't get to see that, but is that where they're filming like a bunch of these interviews? Because there was one, the one where Henry was talking about his favorite Superman villain, that looked like a Superman room. So is that from that same experience?
Well, I don't know if it was a Superman room. It might have been a Star Labs room or something along those lines, because there were different rooms. There was a Wonder Woman one where you could see Diana's studio, you know, where she's kind of the some of that statue or sculpture that she's working on in the trailer, where she's cleaning up the face and, you know, all that kind of stuff as an assistant there. There was the Batcave. There was one room for the Flash's studio, if you like, you know, where Bruce Wayne comes to get him to join the team. There's the bar that Bruce Wayne goes to get involved in the team. So some of those locations have been recreated in this walkthrough experience that was there in London, and it looks pretty cool. And yes, a lot of those interviews did take place in those particular rooms. Speaking about that experience and the interviews that you just mentioned about Henry Cavill talking about his favorite villain, I've actually got the audio from his response. So let's play that right now.
Zod has come back in so many different ways throughout the comic books, and he's a fantastic villain in all those different ways. Bit of a boring answer, though. Doomsday.
Doomsday's great.
Was as far as Dan Jurgens' comics go, just amazing. And Brainiac's pretty badass too. Darkseid. I could just start naming a whole bunch, and then but it's Brainiac's a cool one.
Let's go with Brainiac.
I like Brainiac. Yeah.
Perfect.
Brainiac, it is.
I was actually more excited that he mentioned Dan Jurgens.
Funny how you pronounce Jurgens.
You know what? I have found that's a UK thing, because I have a good friend who is in the north of England, and he pronounces it Jurgens as well. So I'm thinking it's just kind of a regional thing from there. They just choose to make the J silent. But earlier today on Twitter, there was a very nice picture of Dan and Henry from the premiere. So that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, and I think you tweeted about how cool was it to see or hear Henry Cavill mention Dan Jurgens, and then Dan Jurgens actually replied to that saying, you know, how honored he was.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we all want a Brainiac film. I think that's pretty much across the board. One thing you can get Superman fans to agree on is that we would love to see Brainiac done like full on in a film, you know, like big budget, you know, I don't care what version they use. He can be the alien robot from Kalu. He can be from Krypton. Doesn't matter. He could be even like a giant head with spider legs that Tim Burton wanted to do. You know, it's just, there's so many ways you could go with it, but just to kind of hear the guy currently playing Superman, or one of the guys currently playing Superman, kind of call out, you know, one of the current writers of Action Comics and the creator that spent over a decade working on the character back in the 90s. I mean, that's just it's just cool to me. It just makes me smile.
Yeah. Indeed. And it wasn't the only interview that Henry did that kind of piqued our interest. There was another one, which I've got audio from, in which he talks about who he identifies with more, the character of Clark Kent or the character of Superman. So let's hear Henry's answer to that question.
To me personally, I don't think they're different as far as who to identify with. I know people from the outside may see them as two different characters because they would only ever meet them as two separate characters. But for me, I've developed a very close personal relationship with Kal-El. And Kal-El is also Clark and Superman. And with that, I identify with both equally. I identify with both. The responsibility for Superman never changes, whether he's being Clark. It's not like I've taken the cape off and now
right.
I'm being Clark and
right, exactly.
I'm just not going to think about saving people or what really matters in the world or making everyone else around me better. He's still doing that. He's just doing it not in his uniform.
So there you have it. A interesting answer there by Henry.
Yeah, years ago, actually, is when we were in Metropolis, back in 2008, I was talking with a buddy of mine one morning after breakfast, and he kind of put the bug in my ear that what we think of as Clark Kent and what we think of as Superman are both put-ons, and that the real guy is the one that goes home and visits his mom. You know, that's the
mm-hmm.
real person. Clark is an affectation because he has to disguise himself. Superman is an affectation so that he can do what he does and still have some semblance of a private life when he takes off the cape. So I think that's a great answer because at the end of the day, he is one person pretending to be two other people.
Yeah, indeed. It is an interesting one. It's that, I guess, eternal debate about, you know, who's the real character and who's the facade and, you know, is it the bumbling Clark Kent the facade or is it the, you know, that Superman is the facade? It's an interesting one and, you know, people have different opinions on that and there's the whole Kill Bill argument and from that movie. And, you know, so it is an interesting one. But what's particularly interesting is to hear Henry's take on it and to hear his view, having played the character now for, 6-7 years. So really interesting. I love Henry's interviews. He just seems so well read, so well researched, and so well thought on the character. He has such strong opinions. He's always, you know, talking about the comic books and, you know, talking about Rebirth and New 52. And he just knows his stuff, which is really cool to see as a fan of Superman, to hear him be a fan as well.
He also just seems to be a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like the one where he was talking about, you know, who his favorite villain is, that he and the interviewer had this like great kind of like back and forth at the beginning of that, where Henry was explaining that he has to be careful about how he answers questions for this one because a reporter could be laying a trap for him. So he can't he has to think about every single question he's asked and how he's going to answer it. And the guy was trying to outfox him. And it was just great. Like, and it's kind of funny. The more I see him with that hairstyle and that mustache, he's looking like more like Freddie Mercury to me from Queen. It's kind of weird when you think about it, but no, I think he is
accent.
An eminently charming. Yeah, that really helps. But he is just an utterly charming person. And I know some people don't seem to like him on a personal level. And I just don't understand that. I don't get where they're coming from. Maybe they saw an interview I didn't. But every time I've heard him speak, he is, more than anything, he seems to just embody the character that he's playing. You know, and it's kind of neat to see that.
Yeah, he's very earnest. He just, having met him in person at the Man of Steel premiere. He and it was only for a minute or two. We got to chat with him, but you feel like you've got his whole and soul attention. Like when you're talking to him, he's really focused on you. He makes great eye contact. He looks like he's interested, and he genuinely just, you know, makes you feel important when you're talking to him. And he just has that ability to really focus in on a person and, you know, make them feel comfortable and, you know, on the same level as him. It, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic that he has as a person.
Yeah. And again, isn't that how you think Superman would be like in real life?
Yeah, exactly.
Like no, he would just like, make you feel. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Now, another person who's been doing a number of interviews, not just on the red carpet at the world premiere, but also on a couple of different TV shows, is Diane Lane. And she appeared on the TV show Wendy with Wendy Williams and spoke about her life, her career, her family. But she also touched on the Justice League movie, of course, and playing Martha Kent for the third time. And she says that she'd already watched the film before the world premiere, and that she was so relieved that it was so good and she had so much fun with it. And it's interesting to hear an actor say, you know, most of them are going to talk positive about a film that they're in because they obviously want it to do well. But, you know, to hear her say it was a relief, you know, that there's so much pressure and so much writing on this film to succeed that she was really happy with the final outcome.
Yeah, I have not seen that clip yet because I am not a fan of that show.
Mm-hmm.
I find the host to be kind of obnoxious. So I guess I'll have to grit my teeth and watch it because I like Diane Lane more than I hate Wendy. So, but no, it's kind of interesting when you really think about it that, you know, people mocked and, you know, whatever side of the argument you fall on, I really don't care at this point. But, you know, people mocked the Martha scene. And some people thought it was the greatest thing they've ever seen committed to celluloid. But to me, you know, if Martha's in a Justice League film, then she's an important character to this universe and to, or at least to the story. And it's kind of neat that Diane Lane gets to keep coming back. Because outside of like a Ned O'Toole and, what was her name? Why can't I think of that actress's name? Kate Callan on Lois and Clark.
Oh, okay. Yep.
You don't really see a whole lot of Martha. She's usually dying in the background. So it's kind of nice that we get to keep seeing this again and again and again. So I like Diane Lane. I'm a huge fan of that of her as a performer. So any excuse to kind of see her in a movie, I'm not going to argue with.
100%, I'm with you there. She's phenomenal. Right back when I first saw her, I think in The Outsiders was probably the first movie that I remember her from.
So when you're a child of the 80s and you have three older sisters, you better believe The Outsiders is on in your household. It's a great movie, but all my sisters, I have three older sisters, they all had a favorite. my sister Jenny was obsessed with C. Thomas Howell. But so it's just like, well, Mike, you have to choose one. Okay, I'll choose Diane Lane. This is not a contest. I know she's really the only girl in it. But you know what? I kind of luck out on that. So I'll take that.
Good old Cherry. Well, it was an interesting week, as I said, for the Justice League movie. There's been a lot said about the soundtrack and Danny Elfman's take on the music for this film, and there seems to be very divided. I mean, we've currently got a poll on the website asking people if they'll be purchasing the soundtrack when it's released, and it's actually 50-50. It's 38% of people saying yes, 38% people saying no, and then there's the remaining 23% who are unsure or undecided. It seems to be very divisive, this soundtrack, and a lot of the track, actually the entire soundtrack, has been released by Water Tower Music on YouTube. There's video clips or, you know, sound clips, if you like, of every track from the soundtrack. And look, I think it's very old school in its approach as far as superhero movies are concerned. Obviously, he's got his own Batman theme in there. He's kind of inserted the John Williams Superman theme in there. He's used Hans Zimmer's themes in different ways in this film as well. But a lot of people are saying it's very generic, or it feels like it's got some of the music from his other films. What do you think?
Okay. One, to be fair, Danny Elfman has a lot of motifs that he carries from film to film. So saying a Danny Elfman soundtrack, you know, it has similar sounds, that's a fair criticism. Now, I am not saying that I have gotten to listen to the whole soundtrack. But if I did, I would say y'all need to be quiet because this is a great score. That final battle piece where the Batman theme comes in, I don't care what's going on the screen. The fact that I'm going to get to go to a theater this weekend and see Batman doing something with that theme behind it, it's just like it's almost like what, you know, like the old joke that all arguments are invalid. This is a fun score. This is a triumphant score on a lot of levels. There are different, I mean, 1 minute you have the John Williams theme, and then you have like, you feel like you're on the Italian, like Riviera, and there's like people on mopeds driving past you because of the little guitar or whatever that instrument is. It's really weird, but it's also really good. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe even if there's certain parts of the film that I'm not quite digging, the music will make it better, if that makes any sense.
I think it's
fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. Seriously, it's kind of like the Man of Steel score had a couple good themes, but it was mostly boom 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 in the background,
yeah.
And
yeah,
when they weren't doing like the dubstep stuff. The Batman v Superman score was better and more varied, but again, it doesn't have really good re-listening value. This is like, you know, it seems like every time we get further along with these movies, the score gets better for me. So I loved it. I really did.
Cool. And it'll be out on double CD, two-disc CD collection on December 8th. So, but you can get it digitally now. And as I said, you can check out on YouTube via the Water Tower Music channel. All right. Well, many of the press and, you know, movie critics out there got to see early screenings of the Justice League movie, and there's been an embargo on what they can and can't say as far as their reviews are concerned. But the embargo on their initial thoughts, if you like, without full reviews, has been lifted, and a lot of them took to Twitter and social media to post their thoughts on the Justice League movie, and most of them were positive reactions. Most of them were saying that it's a, you know, fun romp, it's great action, it's not perfect, you know, there are, you know, certain problems with it, but all in all, it was, you know, pretty fun and full of spectacular moments. Mark Hughes said it was, you know, good and very fun. It's going to be popular with the audiences, not only fans, but mainstream viewers and families. So to hear that, that was a positive one, to hear that families will be able to enjoy this movie. Yeah, like I said, mostly positive reactions on Twitter and social media from critics who were able to see it.
You know, I'm really looking forward to being proven wrong. I really am. I know that kind of sounds like a joke, but I've been kind of, you know, we could go back to the tapes, so to speak, of the show where I was kind of down on it. I'm really hoping that Saturday after I leave the theater, I can say I was wrong and I apologize to everybody. so, you know, it's exciting though, because it seems like, you know, you mentioned the one review about how like mainstream people are excited. I'm kind of feeling that with some of the people I work with that are not really comic book people. They're excited about this movie. So cool. It just seems like, you know, DC has finally got the film that, you know, to be fair, I think people went to see Batman v Superman because they wanted to see Batman and Superman fight. which is kind of a lousy reason to go see a film. But, you know, Wonder Woman had a lot of good press, had a lot of good reviews. It, you know, it had that nice Rotten Tomatoes balance of having, you know, a high percentage in both of its categories. So I think based on that, I think people, and the ad campaign has been really good. I'm seeing a lot more merchandise in the stores. So, mm-hmm. yeah, this is, we're here. And once again, as we keep talking about, this is the third time that we get to be kind of like at that weird, you know, couple. It's almost like the day before Christmas, really, where we're just wanting to get to the presents.
Yeah, indeed. And then we can discuss them and pull them apart and play with our toys.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, amongst some of the interviews that have been taking place in conjunction with the Justice League movie's release, have been a lot of articles and one in particular from the Associated Press, in which they talk about, you know, what impact the Justice League movie will have on future DC cinematic movies. And one in particular talks about, you know, how Justice League will lead into the next Batman film and Wonder Woman 2 and what's going on there. And then there was this little bit of a tidbit from producer Charles Roven, where he says that the Man of Steel sequel isn't coming anytime soon. He says there's no script, but various story ideas are being kicked around.
Yeah, and I think based on that and based on the quote Henry Cavill gave, that he and Geoff Johns have been talking about the character and what they're going to do to kind of change it. And Henry even going so far as to say that the Superman you see in this film is going to be a more traditional Superman.
Close to the comic.
I was actually surprised that he gave that in an interview for a variety of reasons. But it's just like, okay, you're not going to put that much time further developing the character if you're not going to give him his own film. So maybe I still hold to it that Warner Brothers is kind of hedging their bets. They're going to see what the reaction to his return is. And based on that, and based on the reaction to Superman in this film, is how fast we get a sequel.
Indeed. So let's keep our fingers crossed that is indeed the case. And in the chat room, they're talking about the fact that there are two post-credit scenes in the Justice League movie. There are some spoilers out there. We're not going to talk about them here. But if you are going to see the film and you don't know about them, stick around after the credits, because I think there are ones in the middle, ones towards the end, and then there's one afterwards. So there are two post-credit scenes, or credit scenes, whatever you want to call them. So hang around and don't leave. Obviously, the lights won't come on in the cinema or in the theater, because there'll be something more to see. So that's usually your cue to know if there's anything more to see. But yeah, there are two scenes after the end, in inverted commas, of the movie.
Yeah, I was really surprised that Samuel L. Jackson showed up and wanted to get them all onto the Avengers. That was a bold move. Bold move, DC. Congratulations.
So that is where things are at with the Justice League movie. Go out, see the film, enjoy it. Hopefully you enjoy it. We will obviously be back here next week discussing our thoughts on the film once we've seen it. So we're looking forward to sharing those thoughts with you then. All right, halfway point of the show, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back on the flip side and talk about TV stuff with the latest Supergirl episode. Back shortly. Oh, before I do, don't forget, our guest calling number is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. If you want to be part of tonight's show, chat with Michael and I on the air. We're only too happy to hear your calls. Don't be too shy. Use that guest calling number or the Skype button, which you find on our live listening page at supermanhomepage.com/live. Back shortly.
What will happen now? We'll know more in a moment when we return for the exciting climax of today's episode. So stand by.
Your You're listening to the Radio KAL Live Talkback Show from SupermanHomepage.com.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane. No, it's SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. SupermanHomepage.com, covering the world of Superman from the 1930s to today. News, reviews, rumors, and reports. SupermanHomepage.com for all your Superman comics, TV shows, movies, cartoons, radio shows, and more. Everything you ever wanted to know about the Man of Steel and more. SupermanHomepage.com.
Just try one. If you don't like it, it's easy to give up.
Uh-oh, nicotine. I'd better move fast.
Up, up and away!
Go on, kid, go on.
Superman, is it hard to give up smoking, or is it easy like nicotine says?
You no good windbag, nicotine.
No, no, Superman. Leave me one. Please, I need one. Yes.
That's how hard it is. And that's why I never say yes to a cigarette.
This is James Konacek, the voice of Superman. You're listening to KAL Live.
And we're back on Radio KAL Live, where, as I said before the break, we're going to be talking about Supergirl. The latest episode, episode 6 of season 3, was titled Midvale. And in this episode, Kara and Alex took a trip back to their hometown of Midvale, where they grew up as young girls, to get some R&R, with Alex having just broken up with Maggie, need some time away. Supergirl herself seems to need the time away back in Midvale just as much as Alex. And while there, we get a recap or a flashback to a time when the girls were in school and a friend of theirs was killed, and the two of them kind of came together to investigate and solve the murder mystery. And I've got to say, I was really impressed with this episode, not only because of the actresses they cast in the roles and how well fit a younger version of both Melissa Benoist and Kyla Lee, but also some of the references and what Easter eggs that were thrown in there that, harken back to other versions of the story. What did you think of this episode, Michael?
Okay, so we have got a superpowered teenager that has to keep their abilities secret. We've got a high school setting. We've got a mystery. We've got the villain not turning out to be who you thought the villain was going to be. And we've got an ending where said superpower teenager does something that involves somebody getting thrown across the room, and it ends with a really sappy pop song. My God, this was a love letter to Smallville. Like everything about it reminded me of Smallville, though, as my wife kept pointing out as we were watching it, you got an entire season's worth of storylines, Smallville-wise, in just one episode. But no, it was great. That girl playing the young Alex had Shyler Lee's mannerisms down cold. I was so impressed with her performance. Obviously having Erica Durance in the episode, obviously having her named Noelle Neal, even though that wasn't really who she was really cool. Chloe Sullivan got to come out and play. Not exactly the week they probably wanted that to happen, given certain things that are circulating in the press right now. But I just loved it. I was just so impressed. This season has just been so much fun and so like heads and tails above last season. I mean, they're really nailing it.
Mm. And as Tina is mentioning in the chat room, and her and Alex are chatting about it, there was one reference in the show about Superman wearing his underpants on the outside. So obviously at one point he wore the red trunks in the classic version of the costume, if you like, in this iteration of the story.
Yeah, and that, you know, goes with current continuity in the comics. mm-hmm. where he changed his costume a couple of times. So I was just really kind of, everyone seemed to be having fun with it. I guess it really helps that, you know, it's filmed in the same city that Smallville was filmed in. So you can't help but really make those comparisons as well. But no, it was great. And I just, there was no, you know, supervillain. There was no over the top action. It was just a really personal story about these two characters and how they came to be sisters. And I think that's why I loved it more than anything else, because we got to see, you know, Alex going from wanting to run with the popular crowd to being an outcast by the end of the episode.
And it was also interesting, you know, there was a Noel Neal reference, as you said, with Erica Durant's character, who was actually John Jones, you know, pretending to be a FBI agent. But the reference to Noel Neal was a nice throw in there. As you mentioned, Chloe Sullivan, the Wall of Weed got a mention. Yeah, it was all in all, you know, quite an interesting episode. I thought it was really well done. You know, it was just a really good story. And as I said, the actresses who were portraying the younger version of the characters just nailed everything to a T. So I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Chloe Sullivan not only got name checked, but played a part in the story was just fantastic. Like, you know, Clark has an old friend named Chloe that used to help him with that kind of stuff. So you kind of get the sense that Smallville could have happened in an altered way on this universe.
For sure. Now, we look ahead to next week's episode, which is titled Wake Up. And it looks like Mon-El is returning in this particular episode. We've got the audio from the promo that was released for that. So let's play that right now.
Past couple of months when I dream, I see Mon-El.
It's unreal.
It's incredible.
You have to learn more about the ship Mon-El was on.
Why did you wake up?
How is he breathing?
Everything never changes.
Are they dangerous?
You're different.
Is it not you?
It's me.
They make me believe it.
Supergirl, all new episode Monday at 8, 7 Central on the CW.
So there we have the return of Mon-El. He's growing some facial hair. He seems to be a bit out of it, obviously. They've got him on a medical bed at one stage. There's also some other people in some kind of pods. And there's a girl at the end there who's also on a medical table in some of the photos, that we've seen from this upcoming episode. So I wonder how Mon-El returns and whether or not he's over his, you know, lead poisoning and all that kind of stuff. This is going to be an interesting one to see how and whether or not they go back to the whole soapy soap opera shipping thing.
Or is it Mon-El? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. So, I'm looking forward to it. This season has been so good that they're really going to have to do something bad to make me kind of get disappointed in it, because you know, you have that next week, and then the week after that, you have the big crossover event. Mm. So it's just so much stuff to look forward to.
So that's next week's episode. It's titled Wake Up. It is episode 7 of season 2. And as you mentioned, the four-way crossover over two nights is taking place after that. And we have the description for that particular episode, which is titled, what is it? The Crisis on Earth X. Yes. Now, the description reads, Barry and Iris's wedding brings the gang together, but things go awry when villains from Earth X attack the ceremony. All the superheroes band together with help from their super friends like Citizen Cold, The Ray, Felicity Smoke, Iris West, and Alex Danvers take on their most formidable villains yet. Earth's mightiest heroes, Green Arrow, Supergirl, The Flash, and White Canary, lead their teams into battle to save the world.
I love the fact that they're bringing back the Citizen Cold name from Flashpoint. since the Captain Cold was kind of a hero in that reality. So that's kind of cool to see.
Now, this is going to take place over two nights, Monday, November 27th and Tuesday, November 28th. Supergirl and Arrow will be on Monday, and then Flash and Legends of Tomorrow will be on the Tuesday. And if you haven't seen it, there is a mock comic book cover that was drawn by Phil Jimenez that is very reminiscent of the type of crisis type covers that we've had in the Silver Age and other eras of comic books in where, you know, these kind of events have taken place.
Yeah, in fact, the shot of Barry and Iris looking behind them is lifted, and it's kind of a nice homage to a classic Flash cover from the Silver Age, where Barry and Iris are at the altar and the Flash comes running in. I keep saying this all week, and I feel like I'm making the worst pun ever, but I'm really not. I'm just super excited for this crossover. It looks like it's going to be so much fun. And we're going to get alternate versions of the character. It's an embarrassment of riches right now. We got Doomsday Clock coming out next week. I mean, I don't know if we're at the Nexus. And, you know, now it's just going to be a slow and painful decline back into the, you know, the subculture, but man, just everything's just hitting on all eights right now.
A lot to look forward to. And talking about the Supergirl TV series, there's some casting news with Laurie Metcalf, who you might recognize from her roles both in Roseanne and The Big Bang Theory. She's been cast to make a guest appearance as Wynn's mother, a strange mother, it says there in the description. And she's scheduled to appear in the 15th episode of Season 2. And you'll remember that Wynn's dad is the Toy Man who appeared during Season 1.
That's good casting. I like Laurie Metcalf. She's, like you said, she's probably better known for Roseanne, but she's been in some dramatic roles as well. She was really good in JFK, the Oliver Stone film. So everything I hear about it just has me more and more excited, and maybe I'll stop being such a curmudgeon now. Probably not, but, you know, anything can happen.
So that is Laurie Metcalf playing Mrs. Schott. So we'll look forward to seeing her appear in that episode. Now, on another side of TV news, we've been speaking about this Trials of Superman episode of AMC's Visionaries, Robert Kirkman's Secret History of Comics series. This particular episode will look into the perils faced, the legal perils faced by Superman's co-creators Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And a clip was released on YouTube. Sadly, if you're not in the US, you might not have been able to watch it, but there are ways you can get around that. But the clip from the episode sees Richard Donner being interviewed talking about the time that he met Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster at the premiere of Superman the movie back in 1978. A really interesting clip to hear from Richard Donner on that particular subject.
Yeah, there's a couple different stories that have come out about how exciting it was for Siegel and Shuster to be there at the premiere. And Donner has such a, you know, affection for the character that I'm kind of glad that he's part of this. Still a little nervous about the episode because I don't know if it's going to be treated fairly or if it's going to be just kind of like a hatchet job against anybody that ever stood against Siegel and Shuster. But we'll see that. I have it programmed to be recorded on the DVR, so I will be catching it when it comes out.
And we were lucky enough to get an exclusive interview with the actors who play Siegel and Shuster in this episode, Blaine Anderson and Brendan Taylor. And it was an interesting interview that we posted to hear their answers. They obviously were both auditioning for different parts for AMC and for different projects and got called in for this particular episode. And they're actually very good friends. in reality. So they said that their friendship helped the dynamic of playing Siegel and Shuster, because obviously the two are very good friends in were very good friends in real life, and you know, lived a couple of blocks from each other, and you know, worked on different things with each other over many years, and so went to school with each other and all that kind of stuff. So the fact that the two actors were actually good friends in real reality obviously helped that chemistry of portraying the friendship of Siegel and Shuster. And you know, they talk about whether they knew about Siegel and Shuster, and you know, whether they were comic book fans or Superman fans before getting involved in this project. So check out that interview; it's up on our website, an exclusive interview that we put together with Blaine Anderson and Brendan Taylor. And if you're interested in watching this episode, as Michael said, it will be on AMC on November 20th, so next week at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Pacific Time.
Yep, I haven't watched any of the other episodes of the series, but it looks like it's being very well received.
Mm. Cool, and I'm not sure when or where it will show here in Australia. Or hopefully, it will, because the you know, other comic book projects are usually shown here on Fox 8 or one of those types of channels. So hopefully, AMC have done a deal with a network here in Australia so that we can watch that, or maybe it's posted online at some point, because I look forward to seeing how this story is portrayed in this particular series. As you said, it could go one way or the other.
we'll know how angry I am after it is, so maybe that'll produce some comedic moments.
Now, on a very serious side, in both the television world and comic book world, we've all been hearing from the news, in the press, in the media, about all the sexual harassment charges and allegations that have been, you know, put forth across Hollywood. You know, different movie directors and producers and even actors have been had their, you know, the finger pointed at them for numerous different offences, but it's kind of hit close to home with the Supergirl TV series co-creator and executive producer Andrew Kreisberg having been stood down by Warner Brothers pending an investigation into allegations put against him. The statement by Warner Brothers TV Group reads, "We have recently been made aware of allegations of misconduct against Andrew Kreisberg. We have suspended Mr. Kreisberg and are conducting an internal investigation. We take all allegations of misconduct extremely seriously and are committed to creating a safe working environment for our employees and everyone involved in our productions."
Yeah, it's been a very busy world, busy couple of weeks in the world of entertainment news, with more and more actors and producers, you know, in the kind of the fallout of the Weinstein thing, and you know, even comic books are not immune to this, as we're probably about to mention. But you know, I think the best thing about this is that there are women and men. I'm not going to say that there aren't men, but you know, we're going to stick with women for what I'm about to say, that they're now feeling empowered to speak up. And maybe there was a point that they didn't feel like they could. They were afraid for their careers. And, you know, there are people out there who have said, well, now people are just going to make false allegations. You know what? That's probably true. But I would rather a bunch of allegations are investigated and some proven to be false than someone not stepping forward at all. So
yeah,
I'm really glad that this is happening, know, and it's crazy.
It is. It's a crazy world we live in, and, you know, allegations are not always true. But as you said, it's great that there is now an environment where people who feel that they have, they're aggrieved, or they feel there's an issue that needs to be spoken about or needs brought to light, now feeling like, you know, it's safe to do so, because, you know, I think that would be the worst thing, you know, if someone had been harassed or abused in some way and wasn't able to speak up about it. So, you know, the fact that there's this kind of environment now where people can speak up is obviously a good thing, and we'll wait and see what the outcome of that investigation is. But on the comic book side of things, Eddie Baganza has been fired by DC Comics for a number of complaints against him by different women, and a statement by DC Entertainment reads, Warner Brothers and DC Entertainment have terminated the employment of DC Comics group editor Eddie Baganza. We're committed to eradicating harassment and ensuring that all employees, as well as our freelance community, are aware of our policies, are comfortable reporting on any concerns, and feel supported by our company. Now, Eddie was, it's a surprise to me, Eddie was a long-time editor on the Superman comic books. I met him in person a couple of years back when I went to New York, when DC was still based in New York, and went out to lunch with him, and he was very welcoming. But obviously, you know, that's neither here nor there as far as, you know, what kind of a person he is behind the scenes or what he's done in the past. I mean, he's been there since the early 1990s. And, you know, over a number of years, there have been some complaints, I believe. And now they've it's come to a head, and he's been shown the door.
Yeah, Alex in the Flash chat asks if it's because of Bob Harris for keeping Berganza employed. No. This is something that that has been kind of in the fan gossip columns, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, for years now. Bleeding Cool has been talking about this for at least 2 or 3 years. And I remember back in as far back as like 2007, hearing rumors that a former Superman editor was known to be kind of a serial harasser, for lack of a better term. And, you know, we don't say one way or the other because libel laws are real. but, you know, it's if it is true, then this is something that should have been dealt with years ago. That's just why a company would in any way, shape, or form even tacitly condone it by not getting rid of the person is kind of troubling to me. And I'm kind of glad that now DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers are kind of, you know, stepping up to the plate and getting rid of people that have had so many accusations leveled against them.
Indeed. So that's where things are at with both of those particular cases. Now, we are running out of time to take callers, so apologies to Patrick, who's been just waiting online for a couple of minutes there. Apologies, Patrick. We're not going to get time to chat with you tonight. Hopefully, you can call back next week and we can talk to you then. And we're actually not going to get time to talk about Action Comics 991, which was the finale of the Mr. Oz or the Oz Effect story. Interesting conclusion to that story there, but we'll try to get that to that next week as well. But what I did want to touch on was the 2017 SHIELD Awards. They're the 17th annual SHIELD Awards, the Superman Homepage Indicators of Excellence in Literature, and what's the D stand for? I can't remember. And
you're the one that came up with this, awards. Steve.
Yeah, it's been 17 years, Michael. I can't remember what I came up with back then. But what it is it gives... It gives you the chance, you the fans, the chance to take the opportunity to voice your opinions about comics with a 2017 cover date, Superman-related movies, TV shows, and other merchandise that was released in 2017. And when you go into to vote in the SHIELD Awards, you automatically go into the draw for a chance to win one of 5 IMAX Justice League movie posters, thankfully donated by IMAX themselves. Now, there are 15 categories to vote on, and voting ends December 11th, so go to our website. You'll see the big banner at the top of the page and vote on the 2017 SHIELD Awards. Always interesting. 17th year that we've been doing these, so get involved.
Yep. I have a feeling Dan Jurgens is going to be winning a few this year.
I think so too. And we've also got a giveaway contest for your chance to win Superman the Movie Extended Cut and Special Edition on Blu-ray. This two-film collection has been all the rage as far as buzz amongst Superman fans is concerned. The three-hour cut of Superman the Movie now on Blu-ray, thanks to Warner Archive. We have one copy on Blu-ray to give away to a lucky fan. All you have to do is find our competition page, which is on the website, and share it on Facebook with tagging at least one friend in your post, and you'll go into the draw to win this Blu-ray copy of Superman, the movie extended cut. So get involved with that because they're just selling like hotcakes, this Blu-ray.
Yeah. It makes me hope that they do a Superman 2.
Yeah, an extended cut of that, 100%. Mm-hmm. So that is pretty much all we have time for in this episode of Radio KAL Live. Before we do sign off, I'd like to thank everyone for listening in to tonight's program. Thanks again to Alex, Tina, John, and other guests who have joined into the Flash chat room. Apologies to Patrick, who wanted to call in and talk with us tonight. And a big thank you to you, my co-host, Michael Bailey. Thanks, Mike.
Pleasure as always, Steve.
A huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Tina Murray, Patrick O'Neill, and Stephen Wright. If you want to sponsor our show, please head to patreon.com/supermanhomepage, where you too can be a sponsor for as little as $3. A recording of this show will soon be available on the Superman Homepage website if you'd like to listen back to what took place. But we'll be back next week, having watched the Justice League movie, on Tuesday, November 21st at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for another edition of Radio KAL Live. Look forward to talking with you then. Until then, be sure to check out supermanhomepage.com for all your daily news updates on everything surrounding the Man of Steel. I'm Steve Yunus. On behalf of myself and Michael Bailey, thanks for listening in to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by supermanhomepage.com.